I would like to welcome you to another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program. And today, the program will center around the topic of Daniel. In fact, we will entitle our program today, which, by the way, is program number 166 in our series. We will entitle this program today, The Perseverance of Daniel. Pastor Phipps is going to present some interesting and, to some of you, some new perspectives on the life of Daniel and Daniel's endurance and perseverance. So I do hope that you will stay with us for our program today. We are confident that you will enjoy and appreciate our program here on The More Abundant Life. As usual, we have some very special music for you, and our message will begin after we hear the special song entitled Tell Me Again by Wendley Phipps.
You alone know how I feel down deep inside. I promised you I'd never stray from by your side. But Lord, I'm looking back on all those yesterdays, the many times I let you down. I'm begging you to hear me pray and tell me again that you love. This just takes hold of my wounded heart. Lord, you know I need to feel you by my side. 'Cause when the night is cold and I've been too bold, there's no need to hide. Just tell me again that you love me.
Chapter 10, verse 22. Go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And I want to read God's awesome word for you today. The Bible says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. King James Version says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. This week, as I prepared for the message God would have me deliver this morning, God led me to the life of the prophet Daniel. We are often so fascinated and intrigued with Daniel's prophecies that we miss one of the most important lessons from the life of Daniel. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. To me, the prophet Daniel is a case book study in the art of perseverance. The prophet Daniel was born to a life of nobility. He was a prince of Judah. He was destined for a life of honor and privilege. But not long out of his teenage years, Daniel was taken into captivity by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, conquered it, and Daniel was taken into slavery at the age of 18 years old. This young man, taken from his home to a path that led to an uncertain future, Daniel had no idea what God had in store for him. He had no idea what the future would hold. All he knew was that he was a slave. For how long, he did not know. Neither did he know when deliverance would come, if it would come. In Babylon, Daniel was given, Daniel the slave was given a new name. He was named after a Chaldean pagan god. His name, the new name, was Belteshazzar. Someone said, it really doesn't matter what they call you, it's what you answer to that counts. While a slave, Daniel's commitment to godly principles, the principles with which he was raised, caused Daniel to avoid the moral pitfalls of the society around him. Daniel, the slave, knew he couldn't hang out with the boys in training. Daniel, the slave, knew that his first order of loyalty and duty was to God. Some of you, your friends will say, hey, after work, let's get a beer. You need to have the courage to say, you guys, go ahead, I'll see you tomorrow. And today you got to say, you ladies, go on. They're drinking just as much as the men are drinking. Help me, somebody. Daniel the slave knew that to be a witness in this land, he had to talk different. He had to walk different. If he became just like one of the boys, his witness would be diminished. All the while, as these years in slavery passed, the privileges Daniel and the three Hebrew boys enjoyed never erased from their minds this one terrible fact. They were slaves in Babylon. The psalmist David, in a flight of poetic genius, captured the way they felt when he wrote, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth. Yes. Dance for us. Yes. Slaves, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Yes. And David said in Psalm 137:4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in this strange land? If we forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. And though Daniel and the three Hebrew boys were privileged, they never forgot that they were privileged slaves.
in the big house. Still slaves.
Isn't there something how slaves, some slaves who got to the big house forgot they were slaves? Help me, somebody. Their lives in Babylon would never be far from a whooping, from crisis, something that would threaten their very lives. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, my name's sake, but he that what? Endureth to the end shall be saved. Daniel knew that his time in slavery there in Babylon was going to be a test of endurance. Have mercy, Jesus. He knew, as Solomon said in the wise man in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go. So, isn't that something? Solomon was wise. He said, whatever you got to do, brother, do it now. Because you can't do it in the grave. And then verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Amen. Well, as the years passed, crises would come and go, and they would challenge the faith of Daniel and the Hebrews. They were faithful, but they knew to be saved, they would have to hold on. They would have to endure. The years passed, and Daniel saw kings rise and fall. As a matter of fact, isn't that amazing? You talk about endurance. Some of you work on a job, you see people come on as supervisors, and they flash their badges, and they come with you understand what I'm talking about. They feel like there's something else, and they arrive, and you watch them come, and you watch them go. The years passed. Daniel saw the kings of Babylon change. When the scepter of world domination was passed from Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar of Babylon, Darius the Median, everybody was changing, but God just kept promoting Daniel. He set him over the kingdom, 120 princes over them. Darius set 3 presidents over 120 princes. And it pleased Darius, the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, he set 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was made first president. Then this Daniel was, verse 3, was preferred above the presidents and princes. Oh, Lord, go with me in your Bible. Turn to Daniel 6, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he that endureth to the end will be saved. Then this Daniel, chapter 6, verse 3, was preferred above the presidents and princes. And what does it say? Because what?
Excellent spirit.
Because of what? An excellent spirit was in him. I wish if you would allow me to translate it this way. Daniel had a good attitude.
All right. Yes, sir.
Even in slavery, man, watching people try to knock him off and to hurt him, Daniel had an excellent spirit in him, and the king thought, the Bible says, to set him over what?
The whole
kingdom. Darius chose Daniel because, according to the scriptures, an excellent spirit was in him, and even thought of setting him over the whole dynasty. You know, these honors, and you have to be careful when people honor you. You have to be careful. The servant of God says one can't stand on a lofty height without danger. When people promote you, just know that people don't, how can I say this? People feed pigeons, but they shoot at eagles. You didn't hear what I just said. People feed pigeons, but they shoot at eagles. When you rise, you become a target.
That's right.
You just have to accept that goes with the territory. These leading men, so consumed by jealousy and resentment, search for some way that they can lodge a complaint against Daniel. Oh, but Daniel was faithful to the end. He was one of the greatest of God's prophets. Daniel, one of the greatest of God's prophets, spent his whole life and ministry in slavery. In slavery. The king's wise men figured, they said, well, we got to do something with this Daniel. They hatched a plan. They knew, somebody said, they knew how Daniel felt, because Daniel didn't say it the way James Cleveland did, but Daniel felt, I don't feel no waste time.
Yes, sir.
Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to lead me. They didn't know that Daniel had purposed in his heart. He was going to be faithful to the end. Those Babylonian princes went to the king with a new law. They said, this law will enhance people's reverence of you. Servant law tells us that in this plot to ensnare Daniel, Satan himself had played a part. He's too high in command, they said. He's too close to the king. We got to do something. Besides, he's old. He's tired. He's been a slave all his life. He's got to bend. He's going to break. 60 years in slavery. Got to break you. They didn't know that all his life Daniel carried with him a secret weapon called prayer. This weapon was the secret of his endurance. And I want you to know, you don't have to worry about whether or not you'll be able to endure if you just keep praying. Prayer was Daniel's key to endurance. He had a lot of reasons to be faithful. You see, hallelujah, when you pray, God brings back to your mind all the times he's been faithful to you. When you talk to him, he talks to you. And he reminds you of his faithfulness. Daniel had memories of how when God had been faithful, when they told the cupbearer that they were vegetarians and they weren't going to eat any of the king's unclean food. You know, it's hard to bring a Christian down when you can't get him on his appetite. I said, it's hard to bring a Christian down when you can't get him on his appetite. As a matter of fact, let me tell you the truth. When the devil is coming after you, the first place he goes is for your appetite. That's what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And I'm not talking about the appetite of just what you put in your mouth. Your body has appetites. When the king's eunuchs placed the food that was prepared to make them wise and strong on the table, Daniel knew he had a problem. He said, boy, these Babylonians don't know nothing about health reform. All they know is that the cow is big and strong, so if you want to be big and strong, eat the cow. Nobody ever said in Babylon to be big and strong, why eat the cow when you can eat what the cow eats? If the cow got big and strong on what God put on the earth, so can you. Daniel made it respectfully clear that he didn't want any of the king's meat. If you don't eat this food, says Meltzer, the officer in charge, I'm going to get in trouble. Daniel said, prove us. Three Hebrew worthies. Prove us. Give us pulse, lentil beans, and parched peas, and some water. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier, were stronger than any of the others who on the king's diet. Be clear on this point, brothers and sisters. Some of the credit for Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, their health and the good looks and their countenance, some of it goes to health reform, to temperance, but most of it goes to the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
Who can take a little bit of food and make it go a long way.
Amen.
See, we don't believe that. That's why we eat like we do. We don't believe God could take a little bit and make it go a long way. We say, yeah, Lord, but here, take a lot. Work with that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord. One of my first verses. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. And you know, we don't go on. But if you go on, verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Yeah. Depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel. Yeah. Marrow to your bones. Fear God, it'll do more for your body than gluten ever will. Are you listening to me this morning? Stay away from evil and evil people. It'll keep your stress level down. It'll be as marrow for your bones. Obey the Lord, it'll be health. Somebody say amen this morning. When Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, Daniel called a prayer meeting, told the king the dream, the meaning. Daniel had a lot of reasons to be faithful. Yeah. Daniel had reasons to endure till the end. Yeah. Are you with me today? Yeah. When Nebuchadnezzar, you remember when the king dreamed that dream? It really wasn't to the king a dream. It was more like a nightmare. Someone said, isn't it something that all the riches in the world can't help you sleep better at night? If you had a good night's sleep last night, if you slept the sweet sleep of the righteous, you ought to thank God. Amen. Some people had to take Sominex last night and Nightall last night and still stayed up half the night troubled. The king dreamed a dream, but the details of the dream had gone from his mind. You know how frustrating it can be. I'm talking about why Daniel endured, because he could look back and see how God had been awesome in his life. You know how frustrating it can be when you dream a dream and wake up and try to remember the dream and can't? Ever done that? Come on, you've done it. Sometimes you'll dream a dream and you'll be scared to wake up because you want it to be just a dream. You don't want to wake up and find out that what you're dreaming about is real. Well, that happened to me once. I was a young man, just married. Have mercy, Lord. I'm going to have to tell this just right. I was a young man, just married, and I was having a nightmare. In my dream, I saw that I had made a mistake and married somebody who was not my wife. And she didn't look anything like my wife. She wasn't pretty like my wife. And I was saying, Lord, I know I'm going to have to wake up here in a minute. But Lord, when I wake up, please, Jesus. And it was sometime way in the wee hours in the morning, I kind of cracked one eye real slow. And I opened up and I saw my wife. And I grabbed her and she didn't know what was going on. I was shaking her. Sometimes you'll dream a dream and you'll be scared to wake up. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed this dream, and he couldn't remember the details of the dream. He knew that he would have to get somebody who could tell him the details of the dream. And you remember the story. Daniel had another prayer meeting. Amen. God gave him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Praise God. Well, brothers and sisters, there's a God in heaven who will help you to endure till the end. And today, I want to tell you, when Nebuchadnezzar got up off his throne that day, King said to Daniel, it's true. Your God is a God of gods. I want to tell you something today. It's a fact of life that a good beginning in any endeavor, God says, take your time, is profoundly important. Preschool, it's important. Prenatal care, it's important. As a matter of fact, it's crucial to success. Political primaries, how you start off. A good early showing can sometimes make or break a political career. There's no doubt that in life it helps to have a good beginning. Many, many today whose marriages fall apart, they fell apart because they did not have the right rearing and training. Somebody said the best way you can help your children is to love their mother. Let them see what it is to love and take care of a wife and a husband. In life, so many do not have good beginnings. Many of you did not have a good beginning in your life. Long histories of abuse and neglect. Too often, the legacy that has been left to you has been a sordid one. Too often, it has been the innocent in our world who have suffered because parents didn't take the time to give their children good beginnings. Listen, when you stop your child from running all over the church, when you hold your child and look at me or lick her in the face and say, under God, you will not do this, that's a good beginning. Amen. But as beautiful as one's beginnings might be, nothing will really matter if you don't learn the virtue of perseverance.
This brings us to the end of the message for today. Unfortunately, we have to stop now because of time restraints. And so we end today's message entitled The Perseverance of Daniel, Part 1. The fortunate thing about this is that we're going to air Part 2 of this message in another broadcast. So please stay tuned. However, if you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number there again is 301-577-6342. You will want to ask today for program number 166, and that will give you the title, The Perseverance of Daniel, Part 1. And as I said before, we will present Part 2 of this very interesting title in another broadcast. Also, if you'd like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Lanham, Maryland. Lanham, Maryland is a suburb of Washington, D.C. If you would like more detailed directions, you may call the church office. Again, the phone number is 301-577-6342. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. Well, this brings us to the end of our program today. My name is Adrian Wesney Jr., and as always, I wish you God's richest blessings. Please join us again for another program. But until then, I invite you to remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
In your